fun to sing. It should add four verses. How about 654?
It's got a whole lot of flats in it. Is that one?
It's
okay?
Okay, 654. Opening prayer.
Good evening. Isn't it great to be a Christian and on your way to heaven and have the hope of a going home one day. If Apostle Paul said, if we had hope in this life only, we'd be of all men most miserable. Isn't it good to have the hope that we've got tonight? Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your blessings, your goodness, your mercy and grace. And Father, thank you for everyone that's gathered back again this evening. And Lord, we just invite you. We just pray, God, you just pick back up where you left off this morning. Encourage us. And Father, what a real time it was this morning. And we just ask you and expect the same this evening. And Lord, we just invite you and pray, Lord, for your touch upon our lives. Lord, we pray for every handshake, every neck that's hugged. Lord, for the songs, thank you for these. And Lord, thank you. Pray for the preaching. Touch the old preacher boy. And Lord, we just ask you just to bless us this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seen. Brother Jeff, you won't come on, we'll. So I don't get wound up and forget it. I've done that before. You ask the blessing of the offering, please.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, again, it is an honor and privilege to be back in the house again tonight. Lord, we just want to thank you for the service we had this morning. For the sweet spirit we felt this morning. Lord, we ask you to be with us in the service tonight. We just ask your will and the way this service. Lord, everything said and done, accomplished. We're going to give honor and glory. Bless you, Savior, by name.
Amen. Amen. Announcements. Let's remember our Tuesday evening prayer. The fellows come and gather around and pray, and we invite you to come be part of that. I enjoy it so much. In our midweek service, remember it also. Keep all these in mind. Any other announcements? We have some things coming up in next month. The men's meeting over at Evergreen. It's on the 16th and 17th. So let's remember remember this. And do I want to go ahead and get started? And I hate that I didn't. Years ago, when the Billy Graham Crusade came to Greenville, we was part of it and went and trained and became counselors, was able to counsel at the altar. And the Billy Graham Crusade's coming in April. Will Graham's going to preach, be at Freedom Hall, April 17th, 18th, 27th, 28th, and 29th. And going to be at Freedom Hall. If you've never been part of one of these, it is one of the most awesome experiences that I've in my Christian life and I've been part of. I'm going to see that you had to go through like several lessons to work, train to be at the altar, but it's great. And I'd heard that they're going to do one more and they're going to have it on a Saturday, like all day long, and if anyone would be interested. But I just tell you, I'm going to encourage you to be part. And if we don't get into the counseling and be part of it, I'm going to encourage you to go and support it. And it's a blessing. It really, really is. And Will's a pretty good preacher, too. So I encourage you to make plans for that weekend. Be tremendous. Any announcements? We'll go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Ray read our list off in the prayer room a few minutes ago, and we'll take any spoken that you may have. Remember Sister Charlotte as they travel tomorrow, going to Nashville. So anytime you take off on the road, it's good to be bathed in prayer. So remember them as they travel and the meetings down there. So keep that in mind. Any others? Tolley family. Amen. Remember this family. Faye's been sick. Virginia's been sick. And that is probably Henry and they all the Mitchell family need your prayers. Yes, remember Miss Gilbert in the hospital. This be all will us come and gather around the altar this evening. All that'll come. Brother Nathan, would you lead us as we pray this evening? Just before the message, Brother Calvin, Sister Christie's going to come and share with us this evening.
I told him it'd be good.
This is a song for Tim and one of my favorites. Looking back,
how foolish I've been when my spirit was weak and I was lost in sin. But I turned it around when I fell to my knees. I said, forgive me, Lord. Please set me free. Now I can't fail, 'cause he gave me the best. When he forgave me, this is what he said. Don't look back. Watching where I go, when there's trouble around, he lets me know I trust in him to take control. Now I can't fail, 'cause he gave me the best. When he forgave me, this is what he said. Don't look back, don't be afraid, keep your eyes on me, and keep the faith. Don't look back, don't look back, don't be afraid, keep your eyes on me, and keep the faith. Even though your heart is broken, and even though you feel the pain, just pray to the one that loves you. You'll let his mercy fall like rain. Mercy rain when your heart is broken. Oh, mercy rain, heart bound in chains. Just let his mercy fall like rain. Let not your heart be troubled. Do not be ashamed. Give your problems to Jesus. And let his mercy fall like rain. Even though you're facing trouble, lots to lose, nothing to gain. Just turn to the one that will listen. He'll let his mercy fall like rain. Mercy rain when your heart is broken. Oh, mercy rain. Bound in chains, just let his mercy fall like rain. When there's a death of a loved, it's so hard to ease the pain. Only God can give you comfort. He'll let his mercy fall like rain. Mercy rain when your heart is broken. Oh, mercy rain. Bound in chains, just let his mercy fall like rain. Mercy rain when your heart is broken. Oh, mercy rain, heart bound in chains, just let his mercy fall like rain. Just let his mercy fall like rain. Let his mercy fall like rain. And he'll let his mercy fall like rain. Fall.
Does anyone else have anything? Miss Elder, you feel like coming, picking one out on the piano for us? Okay, we'd love to hear it. else have anything? All right, if you have your Bibles, you want to turn, let's go back to the book of Acts, chapter 18. I'm not saying it is. This should be a short message, but just saying. If you would stand with me in the honor of reading the Word of God, I'll read these same verses over again we read this morning. Did you enjoy the message this morning? Didn't you? I tell you, I really enjoy that passage. I remember teaching that back when I first started teaching years ago, and I so fell in love with that passage. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in Scripture, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. We thank you, for Lord, for your anointing, your touch. God, we just pray that you'd just bless in this time. And Father, that as we finish this passage up, God, that we pray for help from above. Pray, Lord, that you would just come right on the scene, and Lord, that you'd touch the old preacher boy and give us something afresh and anew to encourage us tonight, challenge us, and Lord, to encourage us to step up. Lord, be counted. Step up, and Lord, say, I'm ready. Take me and use me. Father, we're so thankful to be in the number. Lord, the number of the redeemed. We praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. When Jeremiah was in the tomb, or in the womb, and it was early on in the book of Jeremiah, and the Lord says that he ordained him in the womb. He touched him in the womb and was called to be a prophet of God, was called to bring the gospel and preach the gospel and warn Israel and write some of the most wonderful passage and to be the man that God would have him to be. And tonight, I want to think, and this just come to my mind as I was finishing up and praying, that what did God call us to do while we were still in the womb? What is it purpose that God has got for you? Every one of us here this evening, God has got a specific purpose in your life for to use. And that purpose is not just to take up a pew. That purpose is not just to have our name on the roll. That purpose is to use us in the ministry of the Lord. And everyone that's here, he has equipped you with some kind of gift. We talked about gifts a little bit in Sunday school this morning. And he took a loudmouth boy and made a preacher out of him. He said, well, I'll use that. I'll let talking for some reason. I've got the gift of gab, so. And I thank the Lord for it. But looking and thinking about that, and we look this morning who God takes to the next level, how God takes to the next level, and now we want to look why God takes a person to the next level.
See, he don't just raise us up and encourage us and lift us up and give us special gifts and special jobs just so he can say, look what I've done. He's got a reason. And as we look in here in verse 27 and 28, it says, and when he was disposed, or he finally decided to go into Achaia or Corinth. Look in chapter 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos were at Corinth. In chapter 18, where is he? Ephesus. And God has moved in Ephesus, has done a tremendous work in his heart, has encouraged him, brought a couple in that took him aside, and has built him up, and man, he's some kind of a fireball preacher. These words comes, we would call him fiery. Boy, he's a fireball. I believe that's what Apollos was. And he has built him up and made a preaching machine out of him. Why? Because there's a church at Corinth that needed to hear him. Writings say that people from Corinth just happened to be in Ephesus one time and heard him preaching and said, we want you to come to Corinthians. We want you to come to Corinth. I'm just adding Corinthians to it, but want you to come to Corinth. And they say that's when he said disposed, and the brethren encouraged him is what he's talking about. But anyway, God had a specific reason, a specific job, and that he was going to make kind of an evangelist out of him. He went to Corinth to pick up the work there that Paul had started. When we start, see, I had no idea when I started preaching and answered call to preach that God had Marbleton in mind. And if I hadn't answered the call to preach, y'all might have had a good preacher, but now. Boy, I'll go back, I wish him and never answered that call. But he had, before I took the step up to the next level that he was calling me to take to answer the call to preach, the reason he wanted that, he had a job in mind for me. He knew that in a few years, about 3 years when I answered the call, that Marbleton was going to need a preacher. And he said, I'm going to send old Tim Boy over there. They'll help him. He don't have much sense, and they'll encourage him and get him through. He needs that bunch of loving people. And when I was called to preach, I think Marbleton was in mind. That's the reason he called me to the next level, and not that preacher's any higher, but he called me from a deacon to a pastor. If he calls you, he'll never call you to nothing that he won't equip you for. If he'll call you, he'll equip you. Boy, I thought he'd really got the wrong number when he called me to preach. But Brother Tim, I've seen time and time again, he's equipped me. He don't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. I thank God tonight. I wasn't qualified for nothing. But he qualified me. He said, I'm going to ordain you. I've already ordained you. And I remember the morning that I was standing in the pew and I felt a swipe across my chest, and still believe to this day, that's when God put the anointing upon my heart. And I thank him for that, but he had a reason. Now, I'd be this tickled to death to spend the rest of my years right here. But as we see here in this passage, he may move me. I hope not. But if he does, guess what? He's got somebody that's going to come right back in that'll take the place. They thought when Paul left Corinth, well, we can forget it. And then God brought a fireball right in behind him. And he fell right in and was an encouragement. That church loved him. See, there's places you'll never be able to go until you get to that next level. Until you get to the next level, you'll never be able to go. There are some places. If I'd never been ordained as a minister, I couldn't have been your house pastor. If I hadn't heeded to the calling of the Lord, I'd have never been here. If Sister Penny and Sister Elda, some of these others, I don't know. I don't think Elda ever had any, but hadn't took piano lessons. I didn't think she ever had any. But she still answered the call. And they'd never be able to play the piano for us. Ain't you glad they stepped in? Amen. Praise the Lord. If Calvin had never picked up a guitar, he couldn't be a blessing to us with the guitar like he is. If these good Bible teachers that we have had never picked up the Bible, we'd never have the teachers we got. We have to get to the next level to get to the place where God wants you. Where is that place? See, the next thing, He has a future for us. He has future ministries for us. When He went to Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 1:12 says, "Now this I say to every one of you, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ." God had a ministry in Corinth for Apollos. He had to step up to get to that ministry. And that is whatever the ministry. See, He has got ministries in this church for each of us. Who's going to step up and take some of these ministries? Now, if you look around, and we're not getting any younger. Some of us' hair is turning gray. Some of us is turning loose. Amen. Tim, I heard they made a few perfect heads and they put hair on the rest. That's me and Tim's got the perfect ones going on. But somebody's got to step up. We talked about Ernestine in Sunday school class this morning. Boy, what an encourager in the church. Wow. It's hard to fill those positions. But somebody's got to step up. Brother William, he said he never did pastor, I don't think, but said he's a scotcher. He scotched the pastors that come into the church. Thank God for scotchers. He stood behind the pastor and had his back and encouraged him, filled in when he needed him and taught, and whatever it was that he needed done, he was there. See, we need those folks. You know, the prodigal son went out into the far country. And boy, I love a good testimony of someone that God's reached way out and took them and saved their soul. But the elder brother, what did he do? He stayed in the field and worked with daddy every day. He never did go in the far country. He never did get involved in the things of the world. He stayed right there, taught Sunday school. He stayed right there and was a deacon. He stayed right there and took up the offerings. He was in part of the work of the Father on and on and on. Now, we like to give the elder brother a bad rap. He had a bad attitude. Now, how many in here can raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I've never had a bad attitude"? I can't raise mine either. At the end of that passage, the Bible says, "Everything that I have is yours." The prodigal got the shoes. The prodigal got the ring. The prodigal got the garment. The son that stayed home, the eldest, got all the cattle. Got the house. Got the barn. Got the tractor. the ox, I guess I would say. He got it all. Thank God for the ones that stays at home, takes care of the problems, and takes care of the situations at church. I love missionaries, and you know I'm all for it. But thank God for the people that takes up and makes up the church and makes up and does the work of the church. The ones that runs the vacuum cleaners, the ones that does the bulletins, the ones that flushes the commodes, the ones that changes the light bulbs, the ones that sweeps around and cleans up, the ones that cleans up after VBS, the ones that schedules VBS, the one that runs the church van. Boy, I tell you what, those are precious folks. They're hard to replace, Brother Jim. David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord and dwell in the tents of the wicked. And what there was, I'd rather be a custodian. Praise the Lord. In the house of the Lord. See, for this church to get to the next level, some of us are going to have to step up. It'd be a good place to amen right there. Don't give up on me now. Don't be like the preacher that said, for this church to grow, the church's going to have to walk. The deacons was over here on the amen pew and they said, walk, let us walk, preacher, let us walk. He said, before that we can grow, we're going to have to run. The deacon said, boy, they got in a big way. Let us run, preacher, let us run. He said, if we're going to make it next level, it's going to take some money. They said, let us walk, preacher, let us walk. But there are things that we can't do. There's places we can't go, things we'll never do till we get to the next level. And then the third one. He has future challenges for us. I lost you right there, didn't I? We like the good parts. We don't like the challenges. Here in verse 28, he said, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. He was in a lot of debates, evidently. A lot of them challenged him, evidently. But glory be to God that he was equipped with all the past and that he was able to stand toe-to-toe with the best philosophers that they had, the best people coming against the gospel, and he's able to refute what they said and prove to them that Jesus was the Christ. Whew. You talking about a blessing. You talking about stepping up. All of his training. See, it takes commitments. He was committed to the gospel. He was committed to the things of God. He was committed to his preaching. He was committed to whatever God had him to do. And he stepped up and he stood up and glory be to God. And in conclusion, one more thing. Saying in conclusion is about like looking at your watch. It don't mean anything. Has God spoken to you about your next level? Has God been dealing with you over something? In your quiet time and when you're praying or something that really just jumps out at you and you say, boy, we really need something in this area. We really need something over here. That may be God's call. Saying, you're the one. Has God been dealing with you? Has God challenged you to the next level? I don't know. There may be some here that's never asked Jesus into their heart. I have no idea. Maybe we're some's in a cold and indifferent stage in their life. It may be God calling to step up in that area. Following the Lord in baptism. I don't know if it's... Maybe you ain't never been baptized. You know, that's a good example the Lord gave for us to be baptized and following in through the baptistry waters. Maybe God called him, become a member of the church. Maybe time he said, you know, it's time that you join the church and that you get involved in the work and you just step up and become one of them. And I'll try my best that when we do the membership, not to say welcome you into Limestone Free Will Baptist. I'll never forget the look on Liz's face. Or it may be surrendering your life to Christian service. What's God calling you to do? What's he doing in your life? Never will forget when I was called to preach. God was dealing with me and dealing with me, and I hadn't told anybody. I was just kind of, hadn't told Rhonda. I thought it passed, you know. I thought that it was really me having thoughts maybe about stuff, and I was wanting to be sure that it wasn't just me, and I was wanting to be sure. And remember, we'd had a meeting or something at Limestone. David Reese brought me in his office, and wasn't nobody there, me and him were sitting there, and he looked at me right now, and he said, "What's God doing in your life?" Well, I said, "I think he's calling me to preach, Brother David." You know, and that, what's God doing in your life? Where are you? What's he challenging you? What's he encouraging? What is it he wants out of you? I'm going to encourage you to step up. I tell you, there's no sweeter place than being in the center of God's will. That's the sweetest place that you'll ever be. There's no safer place. I know I've said it a bunch of times, but there's no safer place for Daniel than in that lion's den, and him in God's will. All the demons in hell could have never got to him through all those lions that night. He's the safest place he could have been. And when we're in the center of God's will, that's the safest place you'll ever be. Even if you're on the front lines in the battlefield. God's mercy, his protection is there. Boy, ain't he sweet. I got to want to read something to you. Charles Swindoll in the book asked the following questions. Who taught Martin Luther his theology and inspired his translation in the New Testament? Who visited Dwight L. Moody at a shoe store and spoke to him about Christ? Who was the elderly woman who prayed faithfully for Billy Graham for over 20 years? Who financed William Carey's ministry to India? Who helped Charles Wesley get underway as a composer of hymns? Who personally taught G. Campbell Morgan, the peerless expositor, his techniques in the pulpit? We don't know, do we? I know a couple of them, but I don't know. We have no idea who done all this. Swindell goes on to write, had it not been for these unknown people, those nobodies, a large chunk of church history would be missing. Just some old, ordinary folks. Oh, Kimball, I think was his name, ordinary shoe salesman, won D.L. Moody to the Lord. Ordinary people. Behind the scenes, nobody ever knows. You know, we might be on the brink of having the next Billy Graham come through our church. We could do something to encourage that young person. The next big missionary, the missionary that might win the last person that'll ever be won, may be in our youth group. Now, he'll probably be the one swinging off the lights. Get down from there! Amen. Is God calling you to be a prayer warrior? I'm convinced intercessory prayer is one of the greatest tools that the church has got, one of the greatest ministries. Is he challenging them with you about visitation? Or we need some visitation program going. What about driving the church bus? What about scotching for the preacher? Boy, you know this preacher needs all the scotching he can get. Where is it God wants you to be? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings. I thank you, Father,